When the Philadelphia School District unveiled a plan to bring students back into the classroom part-time this fall, the backlash from parents and teachers was swift. A week later, the district totally changed course and said students would be doing online learning only until almost Thanksgiving. Why has this been such a tough call to make for the district? And why is their decision still not working for everybody? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's education reporter, Avi Wolfman-Arendt, has been following this back and forth. He says it started with a couple of surveys, one the district sent to parents and staff, another the teachers' union sent to its members. Both surveys said people preferred a hybrid model.
The basic advantage is that in a hybrid model, you only have half of the kids going to school on a given day and like the other half are learning at home. So you can just have more space in the building. You can space students and teachers out, which is good for, you know, mitigating the spread of the virus. There was actually a major policy paper commissioned by the state of Pennsylvania and the U.S. Department of Education that endorsed the idea of this hybrid model. We all agree that learning in person is better than learning, you know, fully online. So it allows you to have some in-person learning without packing too many students into a building at once. Now, things did shift between sort of mid-June and where we are now. For one, cases around the country started to spike.
The U.S. hit a record number of new cases on Friday. The number of new cases per day is higher now in 45 of the 50 states than when schools shut down in March.
We have 25 states seeing an uptick.
Across the country, the number of cases now surpassing 4 million.
Nearly 4.6 million cases now here in the U.S. with more than 154,000 deaths.
You know, there wasn't a big bump in Philly. In fact, it's interesting, the percent of positive tests has been almost exactly flat from mid-June until now. But, you know, there was this general spike, which I think did influence public opinion. Another thing that changed over the course of the summer is that this became a highly politicized debate.
The schools will be open in the fall.
And front and center was President Donald Trump saying he wanted all students in school every day.
I think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools.
So a couple of weeks ago, the school district puts forward a plan. And so what did they say that they were going to do in Philadelphia?
So this was mid-July, about a month after the old school year ended, and they said they're going to have a hybrid model in the fall. And in their version of the hybrid model, most students would be in class 2 days a week, and then they would be online the other 3 days, which meant that teachers would be in the building for 4 days of the week. And then within this hybrid model, there was going to be mask requirements for everyone in the school building. The school district said it would increase ventilation and do more sort of antiviral cleaning, disinfecting. So that was sort of the big plan. Some in-person learning, but not like, you know, normal school by any stretch.
So how was that plan received?
Not well. not well at all. So the city's Department of Health did endorse the plan, but sort of as soon as it got into the public consciousness, we heard immediate, swift, vociferous pushback. In order to actually put this plan in place, it had to be approved by the school board, which requires a vote in public in a public meeting.
Okay, good evening, everyone.
You know, these days, a meeting like this happens virtually, video chat.
Now for the roll call, Mr. Akbar.
Present.
Ms. Danzy.
Present.
The meeting was July 23rd, and it started around 4 p.m.
Present.
And sort of as soon as it started and we got to the, especially the public comment part of it, you just knew, like, oh boy, like over 100 people testified. Yeah, which is, and I've been to a lot of these meetings, and there's always a lot of people who testify, but this was extreme. And it was also extreme in its unanimity. Like, everybody, I think except for one guy, I remember one guy, but everyone besides that one guy rejected the plan and said that the school year should start entirely online.
Wait a minute, who was saying that? Teachers? Parents?
All of the above.
We should not have to teach students to death.
Why are you putting parents through this?
People are scared.
There was strong opposition, for instance, from the union that represents principals and assistant principals. There was this incredible, remarkable, organized effort from these school building administrators to say, we do not support this plan. These are the people who are going to be responsible for carrying out the plan.
I ask you, esteemed school board members who will not be in schools daily, what number of school-related coronavirus cases will you tolerate before shifting to virtual learning again? Who will guarantee medical treatment for lasting respiratory, cardiovascular, and neurological damages of survivors?
One of the folks who spoke was Olivia Jones, an assistant principal at John Marshall Elementary in Frankfurt.
I'm the caregiver of two young children and a disabled spouse. Who will care for me if I become sick? What insignificant words will you tell my family if I die?
So people are worried about safety.
Yeah, absolutely, and understandably so. And it's also really important to point out that the district, the school district of Philadelphia, has dissolved a lot of trust with the community. Remember, they've had a lot of problems with asbestos in their aging school buildings, and lead, and mold.
We are essentially expected to trust in the district's ability to secure adequate PPE and maintain cleaning protocols when they have never had the capacity to even make school buildings marginally safe from dangerous environmental hazards in the past.
No amount of disinfectant, hand sanitizer, or masks can remedy the ventilation problems in schools that suffer from decades of deferred maintenance.
And one thing I thought that was also really interesting is that people felt that this hybrid model doesn't necessarily really solve any issues. Like, if kids are only in school 2 days a week, that still creates a huge childcare burden for parents. And then the teachers are in the school 4 days a week. And yes, the school itself might be a little less crowded than usual, but they're still exposing themselves to tremendous risk, potentially risking their lives.
The current plan is truly the worst of both worlds.
Well, was the school district surprised by this visceral reaction?
I think the strength of the reaction did catch them off guard. I will say that in the week or so leading up, you could kind of see the writing on the wall. First of all, we saw some other major school districts, you know, Houston, Miami, Los Angeles, say, hey, like, we're going to start online. So it was kind of coming. But I think maybe they thought, hey, we did these surveys, and the surveys say this is what people want.
Right. And that's what you do surveys for, right? To find out what people want.
Exactly, right? And so I think maybe they were somewhat caught off guard by the strength of the reaction and just, again, like how one-sided it was at this meeting. They did defend the plan, right? So Superintendent William Height.
Face-to-face, direct instruction promotes student engagement and supports students' emotional well-being.
Was really adamant that if we do more online learning, you're gonna see massive learning deficits, and it's going to put extra stress on the children of essential workers, right?
We took all of this into consideration.
The city health commissioner, Dr. Thomas Farley, he said the hybrid model was safe. It could be done with the proper cleaning and distancing protocols. And, you know, what they were saying is, you know, somewhat in line with what we've heard from some medical experts, right? Like, for instance, the American Academy of Pediatrics has sort of recommended that schools try to have as much as possible some sort of in-person instruction. But I will say at the end, that defense was just not even close to adequate to stand up to the onslaught of criticism that the board received. And so eventually, in the wee hours of Friday morning, remember this meeting started Thursday night at 4, the board voted 6-2 to recess and basically just said, we're going to take a week to think about this and reconvene in 7 days with a new plan.
Wow. When we come back...
But when the district changed to virtual, the district allowed a few number of people to speak for the whole district.
supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall, talking to education reporter Avi Wolfman Arendt. He says a few days after the school board meeting, the district changed its mind.
They retracted the earlier plan, and they said, we are going to now propose that all students learn online through at least November 17th, which is when the first marking period ends for the Philadelphia Public Schools. They're imagining that as sort of a blend of kind of like live video teaching, some small group instruction, some independent study. And they said that they were trying to work on this idea of like a drop-off center or drop-off centers where students who need, for instance, Wi-Fi access could come and complete virtual work under the supervision of some adults. You know, and that could be useful, for instance, for kids also who have parents who work during the day.
Did they present that plan at a school board meeting? How did that meeting go?
So yeah, a week later, they presented this new plan, and it was a lot smoother than the first meeting, for sure. There were still some dissenters. You know, for instance, Nicole Hunt, who's president of the union that represents the district's school climate staff and food service workers, said that this all-virtual plan was going to hurt the children of essential workers, like the folks that she represents.
Not every student has an educator at home to help with virtual schools. You have many single parents who are both the breadwinners and caretakers, and now are they supposed to choose whether to go to work or stay home with the students. This all-virtual school won't help children. Some are going to be left home alone and not going to be in class, but on the streets.
One board member, Maria McColgan, who's the only medical doctor on the school board,
a pediatrician and a child abuse pediatrician,
had a really lengthy and passionate dissent saying that the harm caused by these extended closures of school buildings, basically it's going to scar a generation of Philadelphia kids, especially the poorest, especially the most vulnerable.
We recognize that children learn best when physically present in the classroom. But children get much more than academics at school. They also learn social and emotional skills at schools, get healthy meals, exercise, mental health support, and other services that cannot be easily replicated online.
And so, you know, her thought was basically the threat of this disease, especially to kids, is not as great as the threat of having what will essentially at least amount to 8 straight months of no in-person school in America's poorest big city.
The way we're trying to prevent this is causing more harm than the disease.
You know, eventually they had a vote.
Mr. Akbar?
Yes.
Some board members said yes begrudgingly.
Ms. Danzy?
Yes, not because I support it, but because I know that we have to start somewhere.
But almost all of them, again, except for McColgan, voted to approve the plan.
Action item 15 passes by a vote of 7 in favor and 1 opposed.
Which meant that officially now, 125,000 students in the school district of Philadelphia, which is by far the largest in Pennsylvania, are going to be virtual at least, you know, through mid-November, perhaps further.
Wow. So the school district clearly responded to the backlash. Why do you think there was such a change in opinion from that first survey?
I think there are a lot of things to try to digest here. First, again, let's talk about the surge of cases nationwide. I think that just changed the way people thought about this disease, right? Like, I think if you go back to mid-June, I think a lot of us were seeing the numbers start to peter out, and we were thinking, hey, maybe this disease is going to kind of be going away by the time early fall comes around. And that just didn't happen, right? I also think there's just a huge difference between people saying, I theoretically support hybrid learning, and then actually seeing a plan and envisioning their children or teachers envisioning themselves in those old school buildings with this disease still circulating in the community. I think the reality of it kind of struck people. It's also very possible that the people who showed up to that school board meeting who were angry, and it was an overwhelming number of people, and they were all on the same side, but it's still possible that that was a self-selecting group of parents, and that the parents who really need, who rely on that in-person school, you know, the working class parents who need to go to their essential jobs, just didn't have the ability to stay on an 8-hour video call with the school board and sort of voice their support for the plan.
But when a district changed to virtual, the district allowed a few number of people to speak for the whole district.
That was something that Nicole Hunt brought up.
Those people that logged on to Zoom and expressed their concerns have reliable internet and are able to work the technology needed to be all virtual. What about those students and parents that are less fortunate, that do not have access to stable internet and do not know how to use the technology needed for all virtual instructions?
You know, my colleague, Miles Bryant, interviewed a lot of parents around the city who weren't thrilled about this decision, including one mom, Marlise Tate.
So I feel like, all right, you asked us to do the survey. You got the survey back, and you just ignored what we asked for.
What this really all comes down to is a choice between two risks. The first risk is the risk posed by the coronavirus itself, and it's a risk we know well. We understand that this disease thrives when people are indoors exposed to each other for prolonged periods of time. And although we can try to make schools safe, we can't change the fact that people will be indoors in somewhat close proximity for extended periods of time, repeatedly. The second risk is the risk that's associated with disrupting the education of tens of thousands of children simultaneously in an unprecedented way. There's going to be some kids who will be so unmoored by this experience that it will have lifelong consequences for them. Consequences that will perhaps lessen the quality of their lives or even shorten the length of their lives in the long run. And so we as a city and as a society have to pick between these two risks. And frankly, there is no good choice.
Well, Avi, thank you so much for breaking down the school saga for us.
Thanks for having me, Annette.
That was WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you Thursday.